Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. My name, I was going to say the Batman podcast.
The Batman podcast. We've been talking
about Batman so much. My name is Nico Adjemian, your host of the AfterBuzz, and of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about the mystery of the ghost ship.
Yes. The Andrea Doria?
No,
Flying Dutchman.
The Mary Celeste.
Oh, that would have been my next guess.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's interesting. Do you know the story of the Mary Celeste? Oh, actually, can you just tell people what a ghost ship is? I'm sure it's obvious.
They exist, but the actual term for it is a ship that has been abandoned or a ship whose crew has
disappeared.
And they actually do exist. There was a movie, I think, called Ghost Ship.
One was a horror, though.
It was, but it also dealt with some people salvage these things because apparently if a ship's been in international waters for long enough, it's kind of up for grabs.
For anybody can have.
So it's through the history of maritime history that some of these ships without a crew are out there. And you might wonder, well, how are they steering them? They're not.
They are just floating around and then they randomly will be found. So the year is 1872. December. Mm-hmm. You're a sailor on the open ocean, and you spot a ship drifting aimlessly 400 miles off the coast of the Azores.
Okay.
The Mary Celeste was an American brigantine, and it rode the winter swells in eerie silence. Her sails were slightly tattered, but her wooden hull remained perfectly intact. Mm. Below deck, the cargo hold sat undisturbed, containing nearly all of its original freight. The uncrewed drifting ship is brought to Gibraltar by a British vessel. Her captain, his family, and every single crew member of the Mary Celeste had vanished. They left behind their possessions, their shelter, and a huge unsolved riddle that would puzzle the world for more than a century. This is the mystery of the ghost ship, the Mary Celeste.
Now, since you say it was more than a century, is that to imply that they maybe have figured out this mystery?
That is.
Oh, here we go.
That is actually what this podcast is going to be about. So researchers have actually even demonstrated as far as 20 years ago that a rapid invisible explosion of alcohol vapor.
Yeah.
Probably through the ship.
I believe the ship. That was part of their cargo, right?
It was. Ethanol. Big, giant barrels of ethanol that is used in fortifying wines. So if you have like port or some other things, there's certain wines that you will inject extra ethanol into.
It wasn't just bottles of booze.
No, it was the chemical. It was like made from the raw material for it. And it was left in the cargo hold. Now, as you know, Buzz, a mariner does not easily abandon a seaworthy ship, which is why the Mary Celeste and the case of it was so compelling, right? Because if pirates had ransacked the ship, well, why leave it unlooted? If bad weather was to blame, why was no sailor dead or alive found on the ship?
Also, why was the ship in such good condition?
Why was the ship still in such good condition? And why would you leave all of your possessions perfectly untouched? So the Mary Celeste was a merchant ship that was sailing from New York to Genoa in Italy, and it was transporting, as we said, a cargo of industrial strength ethanol, which is used in fortifying wines and such in Europe. So it had about 1,700 wooden barrels of this stuff below deck. 1,700. And the Atlantic crossing could prove brutal. Tough weather, for example.
Oh, yeah, a lot of waters.
You would keep the hatches down, or they would say batten down.
Batten down the hatches.
To keep that weather out of the inside of the ship. But, Buzz, as you know, with tons of alcohol around, if you hold down the windows and the hatches, all that vapor is going to collect below deck.
Now, at this point, you might be thinking it was a major explosion, except we know it wasn't because the cargo hold was intact.
And there was no scorch marks. Yeah. There was nothing to imply
that wasn't it.
That it was burnt. So it turns out that at an inquest later, after salvaging the ship, because the cargo was still there, the barrels of ethanol,
mm-hmm.
They discovered that 9 barrels were completely empty. And you're thinking, well, where'd that go? It evaporated into the air of the below deck environment. So
why did some barrels evaporate and some did not?
Good question. So as the Mary Celeste sailed from New York City, this was November, December. They were coming from the freezing winter of New York to the warmer waters near Portugal. The temperature below deck climbed above 13 degrees Celsius, which is the critical flash point of ethanol.
I speak Fahrenheit, so that's going to be like 40 degrees?
32 plus 13 would be... So it'd be about 47 degrees.
Okay.
Right. 47
degrees.
Oh, 47. Yeah, it'd be 47 degrees. Yeah,
number's not my Fahrenheit. Forte.
That's the flash point of ethanol. So the air grew thick with combustible gas and only needed a trigger. Now, if a massive fire erupted, well, why wouldn't you find any scorch marks on the wooden ship? A mighty blast would absolutely leave a charred tomb.
Evidence.
Well, it turns out not all fires burn the same. Have you ever gone to a bar and they light your shot on fire?
It's been a while, but yeah, I've done that.
Have you even seen them do tricks where they might even pour it across the bar, light it on fire?
Yep.
Have you seen people get hand sanitizer and then light it on fire in their hand?
That I have never seen.
Yeah, you can get hand sanitizer, put it on fire, and leave it in your hand, and it doesn't burn you.
Also, I have definitely had a flaming Dr. Pepper.
Flaming Dr. Pepper. Before, so. Maybe Bananas Foster, something flambéed in front of you, or even at a hibachi restaurant, if you've seen cooks.
I'm familiar with the fires you're referring to.
Those are all ethanol-based fires, and it turns out when ethanol has a fire, it doesn't burn the thing underneath it.
What?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exactly. So it's called a flash fire, and it would have happened within 2 seconds. So that blue flame would have burst out. What it would have done was the pressure would have pushed all the doors and window and the hatches up.
They would have unbattened.
They would have unbattened themselves. So imagine you're a passenger. And all of a sudden, you hear basically a
giant...
Were there
passengers?
Well,
was it just the crew?
It was the crew and the family of the captain.
The captain's family.
So imagine you're a crew member or one of the family, and you just hear a giant explosion, and your doors open up in the middle of the night.
Abandoned ship.
Abandoned ship. Or at least get onto the dinghy you brought with you, or the... what would you call the rescue boat? The...
I don't know what they specifically had that fitted out with, but, you know, like a lifeboat.
Like a lifeboat. Yeah. You might have gotten to a lifeboat, and maybe you were still attached.
We're going to wait. We're going to
wait.
What happens,
see if any more
from
explosions.
A safe distance.
Yes.
Okay, so nothing happened. What happened to the lifeboat?
Anything. That's the one question they don't have the answer to, is that...
Rough waters.
Rough waters, a rope that gets untied. Anything could have happened to that lifeboat.
Now, are they definitively sure that's the series of steps that took place?
They are definitively saying that is the steps. Now, in 2006, Dr. Andreas Sella, a chemist at the University College of London, was one of the first people to tackle this kind of problem. What he did was he built a small model using paper cubes, okay? Paper little cubes that he used to represent the cargo. And then he got... butane gas, and he put it inside of the paper cargo things, and then he lit it on fire, and it burst, but it didn't burn anything. So then he was one of the first people to say, maybe it was this pressure wave type of explosion. But just recently, some other scientists have definitively proven this. For a documentary on Channel 5, it's a British channel, Jack Robotham and Frank Meyer of the University of Manchester decided to actually build a scale replica, or 1/10th scale replica, of the wooden ship and the ethanol barrels and the lighting of the and they did it with gas inside and the doors and windows open. They also did it at different temperatures to show, like, if you had a spark when it was leaving New York and the temperature was this, would you have gotten an explosion and different temperature windows higher?
You mentioned spark. I didn't hear you talk about a spark.
Well, you need a spark and an ignition. And they say that's also something that they don't have the definitive proof to. It could have been two wooden barrels that just rubbed too hard together. It could have been.
And with the heavy laden alcohol vapor in the air.
Just a tiny bit if he would have been necessary to ignite it. Or it could have been a sailor who was smoking his pipe and unwittingly opened up a hatch or went down.
Well, that's grounds for demotion.
So they did this whole thing with the experiment with the scale model, and it did exactly what we're saying. It did not ignite when the temperature was below a certain thing. It did ignite when it was a higher temperature. When it did ignite, the flash was 2 seconds, and it blew out everything. All the doors, it blew out the hatches and everything.
Do you want to hear some of the competing theories that had been around for a while?
Sure.
Giant squid. Hey, man. Paranormal activity, which is basically classic. Like saying, I don't know what
ghost.
It was.
Ghost.
Pirates.
Yeah, but why would they leave the loot?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, I think the great age of piracy was kind of over by that time, by about 150 years, right?
Well, there's still Somali pirates. So.
Well, sure. Yeah, there are, I suppose. Do you want to know the ultimate fate of the ship, the Mary Celeste?
Yeah, what was the ultimate? Because it got towed and it got, like, inspected.
Got put back into
service. Really?
It did for about a decade. And the Mary Celeste was deliberately sunk in 1885 in an insurance fraud scheme that was found out.
Hilarious. That the fate of the ghost ship was really just
they sank it to collect an insurance
policy.
Scooby-Doo
fraud.
Yeah, yeah. And they would have gotten away with it.
If it wasn't for old man Jenkins. Anyways, that is the story of the ghost ship, the Mary Celeste. Thank you for listening for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Buzz, any last words, wisdom, thoughts?
I kind of want to rewatch that movie Ghost Ship. There was a scene where they're all in the dance. Did you see it?
I saw it in theaters.
The one I'm thinking of, they're all on the dance floor and somehow a wire gets loose and it cuts everybody in half except for this one little girl who is too short to be cut in half.
Is it this one?
Fuck yeah, it is.
I saw that in theaters. And I didn't know that ghost ships were a real thing. Honestly, I just thought, come on, this is stupid. But yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not so shrouded in mystery as most
real
of these
ghosts.
Stories,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But they do happen, and they continue.
I wonder
to
how many
us.
Are out there floating around,
waiting
as we speak, just
waiting to be
found.
Yeah. That'll be another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. All right. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, tune into the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on 95.5 KLAQ. Talk to y'all next time.